Today I'm going to give a Bible study that, sometimes we got to go through a reality check. You understand? Sometimes we got to do a reality check. And the name of this Bible study is going to be Get Ready and Be Real. All right? You know, when I first came to the Lord, and I think most people are the same, I didn't really understand a lot of things about the Lord. But one thing I did know is He was real. Okay? But when you know somebody's real, that still doesn't mean you understand. And the name of this Bible study this morning is Get Ready and Be Real. And you know what? We all need to start to understand some things. So as I bring this word this morning, I ask you to examine your life and decide if you're ready and if you are real or if you're still living in fantasy land. Amen? Before we meet the Lord, we all live in fantasy land. We all think that we're all that in a bag of chips. We all think that we're somebody. We all think we can move the world. We all come with this false pride inside ourselves that we can do all these things by ourselves. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need to lose that. We're going to Luke chapter 12 today. Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to read a lot of text because I got to get this point across. And then I'll digress. Or explain what it really means, if you will. Amen. Father, I just ask today that God, You help us to spiritually open up our ears. And God, that our eyes might see the truth, God. That we might get out of wherever we've been and into where You would have us. Lord, I come before You today and I feel the oppression in this room and I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I command that wicked spirit or spirit of iniquity to be gone from this place, that Your children might hear the truth and be loosed by Your word, which is the power that we live in. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 33 of Luke 12. When you get saved, this is instructions for you. If you aren't saved, get saved. Saved means turn away from death and destruction and embrace life. Amen? Sometimes I get too churched for myself. I forget that some people don't understand what getting saved means. I sure didn't. Before I got saved, if somebody would have said, "Are you saved?" I'd go, "From what? Nobody's pointing a gun at me. Nobody's coming at me with a car. What the hey are you talking about?" You know what, people? We need to stay real and not get so churchy that we can't relate to people. Amen? All right. It says, "Sell what you have and give alms, which is offerings. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys." The Lord is telling us we need to change our standards for living. We need to quit thinking so much about money and stuff and start thinking about the supernatural truth God has always had for us. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There is no more true statement in the Bible than this. If a bank account or a well-paying job is what you seek most in your life, that is where your treasure lies. But you must make God number one in your life, and He must be what you seek with your whole life, and the other must be an addition to. It cannot be your primary goal. I would not be where I am today if I was worrying about dollars in my bank account. I put God number one and I decided to trust Him with my everything, and it worked out just fine, and it'll work out for you too if you will get your ducks in a row. God must become number one in your life. Above all, You must become a praying person. You must become a person that seeks Him with your everything. And above all, you darn sure learn to be obedient. Whether you like it or not is not relevant. Did you get that? You need to learn to trust God with all your heart and walk the path He chooses for you so you'll have the treasures in heaven that He's talking about in this verse I just read. Amen? It says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. What does that mean? Be prepared. Prepare yourself for the path. Take the time to study the Word. Take the time to pray daily. Take the time to do the things you know you need to do. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. What does that mean? Be like that old E.F. Hutton ad, where you got your bags packed and you're ready to go and your ear is like this. Always waiting and listening for His voice so that you might be ready for whatever He may have for you. Amen? There's too many Christians that have a life that they've already thought about and prepared for. And I'm here to tell you that no man knows the truth of his path, only God. So if you aren't listening to God, you're going to miss your path. Get out of yourself and into Jesus. It said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Who wants to be blessed? Then be prepared, be ready, and be listening. The three things you got to be. Write them down. Be prepared. Be ready. And be listening. Amen? The three B's that you got to be all the time. I be ready. And I am prepared. And I am willing also. I guess it should be four because you can have all those other things. And if you ain't willing, it ain't going to matter. Amen? All right. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them to sit down to eat and will come and serve them. These are promises of Jesus. If you will be these things, then he says that he will come and serve you. You know, I'm so glad, Rebecca, you're back. You know, I mean, it's like we get elevated into his presence. Amen. And when we're elevated into his presence, we feel him inside of ourselves. Right? And I'm just sitting there and I'm almost bawling all the time. I sometimes feel like a big old sissy. You know, I did not cry any tears that I can remember between the ages of 11 and 35. And then for about 6 months after I got saved, I couldn't quit crying. I'd sit there and I'd go up and give a testimony and people ask me for a testimony. And I'd sit there and I'd get myself ready and I'd go up in front of the altar and I'm a man, you know. I'm a man, and I walk up there, and I'm a man. And I sit there, and I go, and that's His presence that comes into our life. Amen? And the glory of God is He wants to be with us. He wants to serve us. He wants to be our best friend. So get ready for those things, and be prepared for those things. And learn to enjoy those moments as nothing else before in your life. The living God wants to come and be your servant. Hallelujah. These are the promises that if you will be ready, be willing, and do these things, that God will come and fill you full to overflowing to where wherever you go, you have that joy inexpressible. I'm telling you, these words are true. It says, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. What does it mean? You need to be ready all day. You know, there are a lot of people in ministry that they have certain hours. Right? They like bankers. They go to the bank. They sit down at their desk. And when the day is over, so are they. But you must be ready all day, all night. Be prepared always for Him coming. Amen? You need to stay ready all the time. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Listen to me, people. We all have a sin nature that to some degree we wrestle with. But I know that the day and the hour that Jesus is coming is unknown. I know that for me, it could be because I'm clumsy, I walk out that door, trip on my shoelace, and bump my head and die. There are some people in this room that will go back out there, that will go drink, that will go party, that will go do things, that will be promiscuous once again. And what if that is your appointed time to meet Jesus? You see, you got to get a hold of the fact that you are not in control of your life, nor your death. So all your life, you must learn to live a life where you are ready. For what? For Him showing up in your life. I would not want to be sitting on a bed with some strange person with a needle in my arm and see Jesus' face pop up in mine. Well, tomorrow I was going to get right. And would you want those same things to happen in your life? You see, He wants to be your servant. He wants to be your friend. He wants to enable you. He wants to bless your socks off. But you got to be ready. When? Always. You know, darkness loves the dark. But I got bad news for you. Jesus lives inside. So if you are practicing things of darkness and turning off the light, what is that to Him? Have you ever noticed that when you're going to do something wrong, you tend to run towards darkness? Certainly it's not just me. But God, who lives in you, is always there. And what if that is your day and your time? Let me go on. If you think I'm trying to scare you, you're right. I am trying to scare the hell out of you. Did you get that? It's true, because it's real. And you need to quit playing games with yourself. You need to quit imagining different than the truth. You know, people will tell me, well, Jesus came in order that I may be saved. Absolutely. But listen, this is the words in red. Jesus spoke these things. He is your Savior and He will be your judge. He shed His blood for you. Now, I'm a human being. All right? So I know that I cannot even begin to think like God. But I'm going to tell you what. If I shed my blood for you and you spit in my face, I'm going to be upset. Get the picture. Amen? All right. In verse 41, Peter mouth said, there's a lot of mouth in the Christian church today. Hey, well, Peter saved. There's hope for everybody. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Who is the one that God is going to put over others? Who is the one that God is going to give these things? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. You want to be blessed? Then do the things you know you're supposed to be about, whether you like them or not. When? Always. So you're always prepared. So you're always doing those things so that when He shows up, that you're sitting there going, here I am, Lord, doing those things that You've asked me to do. Amen. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. You know, you should circle that promise in your Bible. Because I know that we are all goal-oriented people. And I'm going to tell you today that someday I plan on being ruler over all that God has. He has a lot of stuff and things and everything. Amen? And if you can grab a hold of this, you're going to work harder at serving Him than ever before. Right? Now let's go on. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two. Cut in two? Get a picture of this. I'm going to give you a better one in a minute. And appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now remember, I said, God Jesus is your Savior. And God Jesus will be your judge. And he says, I didn't write this book. This is not the gospel according to Dominic. So this might hurt some of you that are resting on your blessed assurances. Amen? And it says, if you go out and you get drunk and you start partying and you start doing the same old crap you always did, he will come on a day you do not expect and he will cut you in two. Now let's dwell on this for a moment. Now I don't care. I picture a big sword. Some people will say, well, Brother Dominic, these are just spiritual things. Well, you know what? I think Jesus is very real. He was a man and God. And I think he knows just how to talk to us. And he said that if he comes back and he catches you in these things, that he will cut you in two. Now, I don't care if he takes, looks you right in the eyeball and raises his sword and cuts you straight down the middle and you split in half this way. Or if you're standing up and he cuts you in half going this way. Either way, I don't like either scenario. You see, I look at those things that motivate me. This is also a motivator for me. Because I believe that every word of God is true. And men's interpretation never change God's truth. Now, some theologians might tell you it means this or it means that. But God Jesus said that if he comes back and catches you doing these things, he's going to cut you in half and give you your portion with the unbelievers. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, you figure it out. I'm going to let you interpret that one. But where do unbelievers go? Where? Where? Well, that's what I thought too. I'm going to tell you that sometimes in this room, I pray that people get a vision of hell. Because I believe if you can get a real vision of hell, then you're going to really reach out and run towards heaven. But don't let no stinking theologian tell you something when you're reading this. I believe Jesus knows how to talk to us. We're his children. I don't believe he can lie. And I don't believe he would mislead. He is a truth speaker. And I believe this is the truth. You get it? That should cut out a whole lot of backsliding if you will get real. Amen? All right. So it says, and the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, what does that mean to you? Because to me, what it means is there's a whooping going on when he shows up. Now, I don't want a whooping in my life after being whooped around in this world in life. I want to go up to the gate and go, hey, I'm done. Let me in. And all I want to hear is enter into your rest, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to sit there and say, and hear him say to me, come on over here. Let me have you lean up against this wall a while. Because in heaven, a while can be a long time. Now, I'm not talking about purgatory. But I'm talking about you will be rewarded according to your works, whether good or bad. See, you better get a hold of this that God is real. You better get a hold of this that His Word is true. You better get a hold of this that He means what He says and He performs what He speaks. And quit getting so spiritually out there you don't see the reality of His truth. Well, certainly, Dominic, God wouldn't whoop us. Oh, is that right? Well, let's talk about the God that erased Sodom and Gomorrah. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's not talk about that. That's a little gruesome. How about the 22,000 that fell in one day for sexual immorality? Oh, no. Let's not talk about that, because that is the church's most common sin. Did I say that? Oop. And I'm in it too. You see, you got to get real. God means what He says. He is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And Jesus did His job. You can be saved. He did His job. You can walk in victory. But the person that prevents you is not God anymore. It is you.
Huh. Dominic, you can't talk like that.
I'm not. He did. My name's not Jesus. Read His words. You get it? How can it be that we glimpse through the Bible like it's another romance novel or something and don't hang on to the truth of what He is really saying? Because we don't want to. We don't want to hear it. We want to live our version of our life and not have a guilt complex. Amen? Well, you know what? I think it's better you have a guilt complex and just get right in your life. Are you hearing me?
All right.
But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with you. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. How many people have been forgiven much sin? Liars, keep your hands down. You better get a hold of this, because sin is sin is sin. You get that? Sin is sin is sin. A person who tells a fish story is a liar. And a person who tells a big story is a liar. A liar is a liar is a liar. A thief that steals a candy bar from a store is just as guilty as a thief who steals a $1 million car from somebody's driveway. There is no difference in God. We are all sinners saved by God's unending mercy and grace. So all of us have been forgiven much, and so much will be required. Amen? We got to get over this. Well, you know, I listen to alcoholics all the time. I deal with people that have had strains in their life, we'll say. And an alcoholic will sit there and go, oh, brother, I never did drugs. Really? You don't consider alcohol a drug? I'm here to tell you that alcohol is the worst drug in America today. Alcohol destroys more relationships and marriages and destroys more lives through drunk driving than any other drug in America today. Did you get that? I said alcohol is the worst drug. It's worse than heroin. It's worse than cocaine. It's worse than speed. It's worse than all the pharmaceuticals put together, because it is the most widely abused drug in America today. What do you think about that? A drug is a drug is a drug. A drug to me is a mind-altering substance. It can be anything. It can be those mushrooms that are picked out of cow patties. Did you get that? How do I know? I've been around. I'm here to tell you that sin is sin. Drugs and alcohol are drugs and alcohol are all the same. And you need to recognize the truth. That you need to get over these things. Because before you're ever going to live for God, really, you must be sober. Amen? The biggest device the devil has to take you away from God is you not being sober. I will not drink a glass of wine. And for the last 3 months, I've even been caffeine free. Why? That's another drug. Caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, drugs, all those tickle the same parts of your brain. Amen? You need to be sober. It's quiet in here. Because I know we get off drugs and alcohol and we go to get our coffee. Oh, man. 7-Eleven, big one. Big. Oh, no. Little double espressos and cappuccinos. Big. Christian crank. Oh, brother, I never used drugs. Starbucks. Yeah. Don't tell me you can't get a buzz off that stuff. I've been buzzed on it all. I'm coming into the close. I'm just trying to expose some truth. What did I tell you the name of this Bible study was? Get ready and be real. So you don't want to talk about your coffee. Oh, no. Let's not talk about our coffee. Oh, no. Not that. It's Christian sacred cow. Let everybody else lie, and let me not just pick on coffee drinkers. If you drink Pepsi or Coke or Yahoo or Mountain Dew, there's caffeine in that too. Okay, let me go to 49. Jesus is still talking. You can repent later. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. This is Jesus. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided. 3 against 2. And 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son. And son against father. Mother against daughter. And daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. And daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. People, I'm going to close right now. But the truth is, God has come to claim His bride. Now, I know that God has tugged on all hearts. I know that God's will is that everybody be saved. I know that God has shown the path and given the path by which we can all be saved. But it is up to us whether we receive the gift that He has offered. Now, let me tell you this. The gift is free. You cannot earn it. But you must embrace it. Are you getting that? It is freely offered. It's yours. Come and take it and walk with me. Now, one thing I want you to remember, and this is the determining factor of our lives that we must all remember. When I read the Bible and Jesus was walking the earth and He went by His disciples, He just said a few simple words to them. He didn't ask them anything. He just said, come and follow me. Now, following God means no longer following yourself. Following God means no longer having your agenda. Following God means embracing Him and following Him and walking with Him in your life. And let me tell you something. If you're out doing dope, you ain't following Jesus. Amen? If you're out living in sin, you aren't following Jesus. If you're out running amok with your old friends, you are not following Jesus. Are you getting this? Because if you are, you are a hypocrite. And if you are a hypocrite, then you are going to get that same portion as all unbelievers, because in fact, you really still don't believe. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody in this room, but the name of this Bible study is Get Ready and Be Real. Now, a lot of you think you're ready, but most of us are really not real. Amen? We have this fantasy thing that goes on in our lives. How many people know we have an overactive imagination sometimes? Some people actually believe they can do whatever they want and God will forgive them. And I'm here to tell you, you're right. He will. But it's when you repent, not when you ask. You better get a hold of this. I said, repent, which means turn away from and walk with Him. The first thing that we all must do is repent of those things. And then God is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, have you repented of your old lifestyle if you're continually backsliding? It's still okay with you because you're still doing it. If you get caught when Jesus comes back with a needle in your arm, do you really expect Him to suck for your new excuse? Did I say that? And I meant it too. Because the reality is that that gift is for all of us. But will you receive it? You see, people, I believe the Word of God. And I teach all my people the Word of God. And He says that He's going to come back in a day and an hour that we do not know. And when He comes back, who will He find faithful? A lot of people can serve God for 30 days and run away. A lot of people can serve God for 60 days or a year or 2 years. But what if He tarries? What are you going to be doing in 20 years? You know what, people? You need to let God plan your life and get out of that picture so that in that day when He shows up, you will just go and He will say, enter into your rest, thou good and faithful servant. You got to prepare your life for the life to come. Your life now is to be a sacrifice to be able to go to that place that will come later on. You are not to live for yourself no more. You are to live for the One that shed His blood for you. You see, this is a tough message because people don't want to hear it because of self-will. And you know what? There's one big lie in the church that I'm always hearing. And I just want you to know that it is scripturally unsound. You will never read it in the Bible, although it is a doctrine of man. You know what the Bible says? Doctrines of men make the Word of God to no effect. And this is the doctrine of man, that there is a perfect will and there is a permissive will. Show me. I want to be convinced. Hello? Chapter and verse, please. Any translation you'd like to give, except for those that aren't translations at all. You see, I don't believe nothing a stinking man says if he can't document it in the Word of God. I don't believe in purgatory either. You get it? I believe in heaven. And I believe in hell. And God is preparing a place for those that are faithful to Him. Not perfect. I didn't say perfect. You get it? We all make mistakes. But if you make a mistake and you fall, you repent and you get up and you keep walking. You don't live in the mud pit no more. You're of royal blood. God has chosen you according to a purpose. You get up, raise your head high, become who God has made you. And if you will do these things, man, glory is right around the corner waiting for you. And not just there, but in this world we live in today. People, we need to all get ready. And above all, we need to be real. Real is not your interpretation. It is what your Savior tells you is real. Hallelujah. Father, I love you, God. I praise your holy name. I thank you because you are the man. God, help all of us to walk this out. Lord, it starts small. Give us the strength for this day. And day by day, renew that strength, Lord. Help us to renew our mind and renew our path, God, every day of our life until that day when you come. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.